You're listening to the Your Stories podcast, episode 19, where we finish up the story of the four white swans. If you haven't listened to the previous parts, you may listen to them, episode 16 through 18. This story is by Louis Chisholm and is written in the book Celtic Tales Told to the Children. Don't forget about my partner, who also reads short stories. You can find him by visiting bobshortstoryhour.com or finding him on Twitter at bobshortstory. Hope you enjoy. Once more, we're into 300 years of doom. Glad were the four white swans to leave the cruel sea of Moyle. Yet might they fly only to the wild western sea, and tempest-tossed as before, here they in no way escape the pitiless fury of wind and wave. Worse than aught they had before endured was a frost that drove the brothers to despair. While nigh frozen to a rock, they one night cried out aloud to Finola that they longed for death, and she too would fain have died. But that same night did a dream come to the swan maiden, and when she awoke, she cried to her brothers to take heart.
Believe, dear brothers, in the great God who hath created the earth with its fruits and the sea with its terrible wonders. Trust in him, and he will yet save you.
And her brothers answered, we will trust. And Finola also put her trust in God, and they all fell into a deep slumber. When the children of Lir awoke, behold, the sun shone, and thereafter, until the 300 years on the western sea were ended, neither wind, nor wave, nor rain, nor frost had hurt the four swans. On a grassy isle they lived, and sang their wondrous songs by day, and by night they nestled together on their soft couch, and awoke in the morning to sunshine and peace. And there on the grassy island was their home, until the 300 years were at an end. Then Finola cried to her brothers, and tremblingly she told, and tremblingly they heard, that they might now fly eastward to seek their own old home. Lightly did they rise on outstretched wings, and swiftly did they fly until they reached land. There they alighted and gazed at each other, but too great for speech was their joy. Then again did they spread their wings, and fly above the green grass on and on, until they reached the hills and trees that surrounded their home. But alas, only the ruins of Lir's dwelling were left. Around was a wilderness overgrown with rank grass, nettles, and weeds. Too downhearted to stir, the swans slept that night within the ruined walls of their old home. But when day broke, each could no longer bear the loneliness, and again they flew westward. And it was not until they came to Enis Glora that they alighted. On a small lake in the heart of the island, they made their home. And by their enchanting music, they drew to its shores all the birds of the west, until the lake came to be called the Lake of the Bird Flocks. Slowly passed the years, but a great longing filled the hearts of the children of Lir. When would the good saint come to Erin? When would the chime of the Christ bell peal over land and sea? One rosy dawn, the swans awoke among the rushes of the Lake of the Bird Flocks, and strange and faint was the sound that floated to them from afar. Trembling, they nestled close the one to the other, until the brothers stretched their wings and fluttered hither and thither in great fear. Yet trembling, they flew back to their sister, who had remained silent among the sedges. Crouching by her side, they asked, "What, dear sister, can be done? Can be the strange faint sound that steals across our island?" With quiet, deep joy, Finola answered,
"Dear brothers, it is the chime of the Christ bell that ye hear, the Christ bell of which we have dreamed through thrice 300 years. Soon the spell will be broken, soon our sufferings will end."
Then did Finola glide from the shelter of the sedges across the rose-lit lake, and there by the shore of the western sea she chanted a song of hope. Calm crept into the hearts of the brothers as Finola sang, and as she ended, once more the chime stole across the isle. No longer did it strike terror into the hearts of the children of Lir. Rather, as a note of peace did it sink into their souls. Then, when the last chime died, Finola said,
"Let us sing to the great King of heaven and earth."
Far stole the sweet strains of the white swans, far across Enis Glora, until they reached the good saint Kemoc, for whose early prayers the Christ bell had chimed. And he, filled with wonder at the surpassing sweetness of the music, stood mute. But when it was revealed unto him that the voices he heard were the voices of Finola, and Ayat, and Fiacra, and Khan, who thanked the high God for the chime of the Christ bell, he knelt, and also gave thanks, for it was to seek the children of Lourdes that the saint had come to Enis Glora. In the glory of noon, Kemoc reached the shore of the little lake, and saw four white swans gliding on its water. And no need had the saint to ask whether these indeed were the children of Lur. Rather, did he give thanks to the high god who had brought him hither. Then gravely the good Kemoc said to the swans, "Come ye now to land, and put your trust in me, for it is in this place that ye shall be freed from your enchantment." These words the four white swans heard with great joy, and coming to the shore they placed themselves under the care of the saint, and he led them to his cell, and there they dwelt with him. And Kemoc sent to Aaron for a skillful workman, and ordered that two slender chains of shining silver be made. Betwixt Finola and Ea did he clasp one silver chain, and with the other did he bind Fiacra and Khan. Then did the children of Lur dwell with the holy Kemoc, and he taught them the wonderful story of Christ, that he and St. Peter had brought to the Green Isle, and the story so gladdened their hearts that the misery of their past sufferings was well nigh forgotten. And they lived in great happiness with the saint. Dear to him were they, dear as they had been his own children. Thrice 300 years had gone since Eva had chanted the fate of the children of Lur.
"Until Dekka be the queen of Lurgnan, until the good saint come to Aaron, and ye hear the chime of the Christ bell, shall ye not be delivered from your doom."
The good saint had indeed come, and the sweet chimes of the Christ bell had been heard, and the fair Dekka was now the queen of King Lurgnan. Soon were tidings brought to Dekka of the Swan Maiden and her three brothers. Strange tales did she hear of their haunting songs. It was told her, too, of their cruel miseries. Then begged she her husband, the king, that he would go to Kemoc and bring to her these human birds. But Lurgnan did not wish to ask Kemoc to part with the swans, and therefore he did not go. Then was Dekka angry, and swore she would live no longer with Lurgnan until he brought the singing swans to the palace. And that same night she set out for her father's kingdom in the south. Nevertheless, Lurgnan loved Dekka, and great was his grief when he heard that she had fled. And he commanded messengers to go after her, saying he would send for the white swans if she would come back. Therefore Dekka returned to the palace, and Lurgnan sent to Kemoc to beg of him the four white swans, but the messenger returned without the birds. Then was Lurgnan wroth, and set out himself to the cell of Saint Kemoc, but he found the saint in the little church, and before the altar were the four white swans.
"Is it truly told me that you refused these birds to Queen Dekka?" asked the king.
"It is truly told," replied Kemoc.
Then Lurgnan was more wroth than before, and seizing the silver chain of Finola and Ailid in the one hand, and the chain of Fiacra and Khan in the other, he dragged the birds from the altar, down the aisle, and it seemed as though he would leave the church, and in great fear did the saint follow. But lo, as they reached the door, the snow-white feathers of the four swans fell to the ground, and the children of Lur were delivered from their doom. For was not Dekka the bride of Lurgnan, and the good saint, had he not come? And the chime of the Christ bell, was it not heard in the land? But aged and feeble were the children of Lur. Wrinkled were their once fair faces, and bent their little white bodies. At the sight, Lurgnan, affrighted, fled from the church, and good Kemoc replied,
"Woe to thee, O king!"
Then did the children of Lur turn toward the saint, and thus Finola spake,
"Baptize us now, we pray thee, for death is nigh. Heavy with sorrow are our hearts, that we must part from thee, thou holy one, and that in loneliness must thy days on earth be spent."
"But such is the will of the high God. Here let our graves be digged, and here bury our four bodies, Khan standing at my right side, Fiacra at my left, and Ayad before my face. For thus did I shelter my dear brothers for thrice 300 years, neath wing and breast." Then did the good Kemoc baptize the children of Lur, and thereafter the saint looked up, and lo, He saw a vision of four lovely children with silvery wings and faces radiant as the sun, and as he gazed, they floated ever upward until they were lost in a mist of blue. Then was the good Kemoc glad, for he knew that they had gone to heaven. But when he looked downward, four worn bodies lay at the church door, and Kemoc wept sore. And the saint ordered a wide grave to be digged, close by the little church, and there were the children of Lir buried, Conn standing at Finola's right hand, and Fiacra at her left, and before her face her twin brother Aed. And the grass grew green above them, and a white tombstone bore their names. And across the grave floated morning and evening the chime of the sweet Christ bell. This story is a story that's mostly fiction. There is truth to it, though. There is a God who has created the heavens and the earth. There is a God who loves us. There is but one God, and he sent his Son to die on the cross to save us from our sins so that we may go to live with him in heaven for eternity. Thank you for listening to the Your Stories podcast. Music provided by Audionautix.